Welcome to Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program brought to you by the Church Fellowship of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and in today's program, we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's in-depth series on the book of Romans. In this sermon, Pastor analyzed Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, where the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." And when we left off, Pastor Greg was discussing how the actual physical presence of the apostle, filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, could convey spiritual gifts or charisma to the believers in these churches. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo in the Sunday sermon.
Romans chapter 15, at the end of this letter, in verse 29, he says, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." There's something they need at this church. There's something that the Spirit of God is putting on Paul's heart. Spiritual gifts, the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And part of those gifts, there's teaching, right? This letter is really a teaching letter. It's a letter loaded with doctrine, with teaching, which corrects error, which keeps the individuals from going off to the left or to the right. They're lacking something in spiritual gifts, something in teaching, something in the fullness of the blessing. And so he says, I long to see you. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, you read about in Acts chapter 8, the conversion in Samaria under the evangelist Philip. And then it says in verse 14, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." The presence of the apostles bestowing the gift, bringing into this group of believers here who are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, a blessing, a bounty of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you go into Acts chapter 19, and you have the section of Paul, he comes to Ephesus, and he comes across disciples who say, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit," when they first believed. They were just baptized into John's baptism. And so Paul takes them and baptizes them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then it says in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." The presence of the apostle, praying, bestowing, the Holy Spirit using Peter, using John, using Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God," he says to Timothy, "stir up the gift of God, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And in 1 Timothy, he says that there was a whole group of elders that laid hands on Timothy also. And then in 1 Timothy 5:22, he says, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Don't rush to lay hands on. As Timothy moves from an evangelist to an apostle, don't just rush to do it. Make sure that this is the will of God. So Timothy had a gift bestowed upon him by Paul and other elders laying hands upon Timothy. The presence of the apostles and the elders and then the blessings that come down that they can share and almost be a catalyst, like an enzyme, for the Holy Spirit to do his work in these people's lives. Philip evangelized. The people received. The people were baptized in the name of the Lord. But when there was the presence of Peter and John, and you know when Peter walked in Jerusalem, just his presence many times, people were healed. We read that at the beginning of the book of Acts. The blessing that came from the anointing of God in a special way when the church was starting. And now they come down, they pray on them in Samaria, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And likewise with Paul. He says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that," why? What's the goal? What is the goal of the spiritual gift? He longs that he might give, that he might impart. Why? What is the goal? That you may be established. That you may be established. Sterizo in the Greek, established. Very interesting word. To set fast, to fix, to make fast, to set, to confirm, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, to strengthen, to resolutely set. You're fixing it. You're making it firm. You're making it solid. It's set in a certain direction, and then it can't turn from that direction. It's established. It's set. It's made fast. It's set fast. Sterizo, that you may be established. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, we studied this in the Heavenly Authority series. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ." These offices, the gifts given to these people, like the gifts given to Paul, are for the equipping of the saints and the building up of the body of Christ. The Lord tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, he said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you," the importance of prayer. "Simon, I've prayed for you. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," because it does fail, right? But he's praying for the larger picture, that it doesn't fail, that Peter comes to repentance and turns around. "And when you have returned to me," what? What's his call? Strengthen your brethren. Same word. Sterizo. Establish thy brethren, it says in the ASV. Establish thy brethren. Strengthen your brethren. These gifts are given that the brethren might be established, the church might be set fast, might be fixed, might be confirmed, might be strengthened. In Acts chapter 15, in verse 36, you have the parting of Paul and Barnabas. Paul says to Barnabas, "Let us now go back to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing." And they had the disagreement about Mark, John Mark. And so they split in verse 40. "But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through with Silas through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So the goal to revisit them, the presence of the apostle coming back in, strengthens the church. And then in chapter 16, you read how in came to Derbe and Lystra, and they come across Timothy, and Paul wants Timothy to join their ministry. And you have Paul and Silas and Timothy in verse 4 of chapter 16. It says in verse 4, "And as they went through the cities, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. That's from the Jerusalem Council. That's from earlier on in chapter 15. So as they revisit these churches that Paul and Barnabas had established, now they're given the teaching of the apostles and elders at Jerusalem, and they're making them firm. They're strengthening them. And it says in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now that word there for strengthen is different than sterizo. It's ste'e'a'o. Ste'e'a'o. We get the word, the prefix steri or stereo from it. And it means in the Greek to solidify. It's very closely related to the other one. To solidify. To make firm. To strengthen. Literally to make solid. To make solid. And that's why our English word stereo applies to a solid body. And then because it's a solid body, it also then comes to be used for that which has three-dimensional space, right? Stereo. If something's a stereo, it's three-dimensional, right? You're getting it from all different sides. Three-dimensional. It comes off the root to mean a solid figure as opposed to a flat figure on a piece of paper. Comes off the same Greek word here used in Acts chapter 16, verse 5. The churches were strengthened as the apostles revisit them. They're strengthened, they're made solid. They're made complete. They're made three-dimensional, a solid object. And it's a good picture of what the church should be. The church has to be established. You know, Paul says to them, I long that I may see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you might be established, that you might be fixed, that you might be solid, that you might have three dimensions. Too often the church is hollow or it's flat. It's a two-dimensional drawing of what it should be. You know, drawings are nice. They can give you a good representation. I could do a pen and ink drawing. We do it for our business, but it's on a piece of paper. It looks like the real thing, but it's really not the real thing because it's on a piece of paper. The real thing is three-dimensional. The real thing is solid. The real thing can't be moved, it's established, it's firm. It's in stereo. And my contention is that too often the church is flat. It's a picture of what it should be, but it's not established the way it's supposed to be as a solid, real, three-dimensional organization, group, assembly of believers.
Serious times require serious Bible study, and on shiarjashub.org, you will find hundreds of radio audio teaching programs, information about our church, and links to our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service on YouTube. These videos are posted up on the Shiar Jashub channels on YouTube, Rumble.com, and X.com. as well as on the church website itself. And both the Heavenly Authority and Roman series are available on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. You can find all this information on the website at shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.